go ahead and get mic'd up.
Revelation chapter 1, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, you thank you for many blessings, guide, lead, and direct in all things. Lord, we pray for thy will to be done. Pray that we would look to thee for help, look on high. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. That just reminded me as I was praying, tomorrow is National Day of Prayer. I'll be one of the pastors praying tomorrow, Niceville City Hall. And 11:30, the preliminary music starts, and I think the main thing starts about 11:45. You're all welcome to come. And, you know, it's just important in this city that we show that we think prayer is important. And so it is. And also, I'll be leaving on Monday, flying up to Washington, D.C. Got several meetings with congressmen and senators and tour of the White House. If I do see Joe Biden, is there any message you'd like me to give him? Let's just hold those thoughts. We'll get them from you later. Because he's not going to remember what I say anyway. And if I do run into him, I hope that, you know, I'll have my turn signal on or something so that I don't go to jail. Just kidding. All right. I'll probably go to jail just for that. Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants, which things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Verse 2, bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. So on the other night, Sunday night, we looked at the seven spirits. Just briefly, we'll actually further develop them in Sunday school this Sunday. But in verse 2, it says, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. So if you look at that preposition of, it says he bear record of. How many are there? There are three. And every word is important. When it says by this and by that, and then the next one doesn't say by something, B-Y, then they're not connected in the same fashion. But the Bible says bear record. You see, John records a threefold revelation of God's Word. He bear record of the Word of God. He bear record of the testimony of Jesus Christ. And then he bear record of all things he saw. That's a threefold breakdown. In other words, he could read it, hear it, and see it. Those are the three fundamental means by which we communicate and which communication throughout history has been made through those three means. Once again, God employs them here in Revelation to express his message to John and to all those who would follow after him. So when you look at verse 2 again, it says, who bear record of the Word of God. So when you're looking at the Word of God, these aren't just the words of men. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and we'll show you how important it is to understand that this is, in fact, the Word of God. Paul commends the believers in Thessalonica who received his Word, the Word that Paul gave, as the Word of God and not simply as the Word of men. We find God's commendation in Thessalonians and also in Corinthians that we'll look at in a moment, pointing out that Paul's writings were in fact the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, a very much a favorite of mine. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. So how often did he thank him? Without ceasing. Because when you receive the Word of God, which he heard of us, you received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So when you're looking at this, he said, listen, you received the Word of God, you heard it from us, and you received it as that, not just as the Word of men. And when you look at the Bible, you can't just look at it and say it's the Word of men. Because if you think this is the Word of men, How are you going to trust in it? You're going to trust in it for your soul and say it's the word of men? It better be more than that, and it is. And he says that you received it not as the word of men, but as the word of God. And he says, as in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh in you to believe. You know why the word of God doesn't effectually believe or work in many people's lives? Because they don't believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And you go through that which is not of faith is sin is another one. You go through and you look at faith, you look at believing, and you look at the word of God. We have a responsibility to believe the Bible. This Bible speaks to me. This Bible tells me things, and I don't mean I hear it with my ear. I hear it in my heart. I hear it in my mind. I hear it in my soul. And it really makes a difference. I've been teaching in the book of Psalms, and boy, it's an amazing thing after all these years, four decades of being saved. And I really never, I like Proverbs. I'd read Proverbs every day. You know, the proverb of the day. There's 31 of them. You read one proverb every day. And boy, I'd read those proverbs. I remember reading about Solomon who prayed for wisdom, and God said, hey, I'm going to give you that and give you everything else. You know what I want? I want wisdom. But you know, Psalms is an important book as we've been studying it, and it's the Word of God. And it'll change your life if you let it change your life. Now go ahead to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I told you that not only in Thessalonians, but also in 1 Corinthians, Paul is writing about the Word of God, and he's commending those in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 7:10 is another place. Now, it's several places, but these two we'll look at. He says, unto the married I command, and then he says, yet not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband. So when you look in the Bible, he's telling you, look, I'm telling you this, but it's not really me. It reminds me of 1 Corinthians 15:10. I probably have signed that verse with my name. I don't even know, 20,000 times. I'd sign my name and I'd put 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. And I just butchered my life verse. He says, but in it he says, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So listen, that's how you have to look at it. You can say, well, Who put up the flags? Well, you know, a couple of men did. But it's the Lord's work. And you say, something as simple as that, you know, you don't take credit for it. You say the Lord's in this thing. And the more you put the Lord in it, the more you recognize the Lord in it, the more you give Him glory in everything that's done, the more God will use you to do even more. Amen. Like Holland. I mean, Holland voluntold for that one thing, and now look at it. So going back to Revelation 1, verse 2 again, he said, who bear record of the word of God. And then he says, and of the testimony of Jesus. Boy, I tell you what, I gotta mark this in here because I've got to cross-reference this verse with that verse I was talking about in Revelation 12 when it said by, and then it doesn't use by the third time. This says of all three times. So it's, you know, again, simple word. Simple word. I may have said pronoun, but I meant preposition. The prepositions are important. Of the Word of God, of the testimony, of all things. So we're going to look at the testimony of Jesus. Revelation 19:10 identifies the testimony of Jesus as the spirit of prophecy. And we've already looked at that. Prophecy can mean telling the future, but it also can mean preaching or proclaiming the unknown. Proclaiming the unknown. Let me give you an example. You remember whenever they were hitting Jesus, they said, prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is it that smote thee in Matthew 26:68? What does that mean by prophesying? It means proclaiming the unknown. Now, you know what? It wasn't unknown to Jesus, though. Can you imagine if he'd have just started calling out their names? Can you imagine? There's a noise out there. Yeah, you might want to check on it. Gary, can you just look out there? only Gary. Turn. look at Proverbs 31. Now he's gone. Brenda, he's gone. Just momentarily. When you look at, now I got to get my train of thought back. Proverbs 31, verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Is that about the future only? I mean, was she prophesying of the future? No, it was the unknown. It was teaching him. The definition of prophecy is preaching, public interpretation of Scripture, exhortation or instruction. So don't get confused when you see prophecy in your Bible. It isn't always something about the future. It can be something as simple as what is not known. So we have the testimony of Jesus in several forms. It shows up in written form in the four Gospels. It shows up in the inspiration of Scripture and in the Spirit which lives within the believer who bears witness to the truth. So the Spirit is in you if you're saved, Romans 8:16, and it bears witness of the truth. That same Spirit of prophecy is manifested through us in our ability to tell the future through what the Word of God says, and through the Spirit of God living within us, bearing witness to that truth. So when you look at that, the Spirit that bears bears testimony of the Lord. Look at, now that's Revelation 1:2. Let's look at Revelation 1:3. Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear. Notice the singular and plural. He that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein for the times at hand. Let me make the point again. Notice it's blessed is he individually that readeth and they that hear. So there's a blessing and a curse tied to the book of Revelation. Blessing occurs seven times in Revelation. I won't go through all of them. I'll tell you what they are. It's in 1:3, 14:13, 16:15, 19:9, 20 verse 6, 22 verse 7, and 22 verse 14. Look at chapter 22 for the curse. Look at this curse in your Bible. Now you have to be careful. The Bible didn't contradict itself anywhere. If I told you the Bible taught somewhere you could lose your salvation, who's right and who's wrong? I'd be wrong. Why? Well, the verse looks like it, you can lose your salvation. What's the problem? Our interpretation. You say, well, let's read it. Revelation 22:18. For I testify unto you, unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, here's your curse, God shall all add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Boy, that's pretty rough. And if any man shall take away from the words of the prophecy of this book, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So can somebody lose their salvation? No. So does that teach that you can lose your salvation? No. How do you know? Because it doesn't contradict itself. You say, well, it looks like you can lose your salvation. It looks like it says that. Therefore, you're misinterpreting it. What's it mean? It doesn't matter what I think it means. But it does say this. He will take away his part out of the book of life. Does it say it'll take his name out? If he changed it? No. If he took his name out and his name was in there and he blotted out his name, then yeah, the person would lose their salvation. It says take his part out. Therefore, the book of life must be much more than just simply somebody's name in it. So that's how you have to interpret Scripture. You don't allow your thoughts to corrupt truth. You must always allow the truth to remain the way that God wants it conveyed to you. You cannot just simply go in there and go, well, you know, I just think this. Don't think that. If what you think is wrong, don't think it. You know how many churches teach you to lose your salvation? I could go through a long list of them right here. And then you say to them, well, how do you get back your salvation once you've lost it? You trust in the Lord to get your salvation. All right, now you lost it because of your works. How do you get it back? It must be through works. Oh, it's by faith. So let's see, you got it by faith. You lost it by works. You're going to get it back by faith. And then what? Can you lose it again? And then who has eternal security, everlasting life? There is no such thing if that were the way that this thing works. So you can't let any verse contradict the truths of the Bible. A person is sealed until the day of redemption. So who loses that sealing? Nobody. You're sealed until the day of redemption. That is a constant truth. Nobody's saved by works. For by grace he is saved through faith, not of yourself, gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What about a guy in the Old Testament? Not of works. What about a guy in the tribulation? Not of works. Why? He could boast if he was saved by works. So you don't let any verse contradict it. You say, well, it looks like in the Old Testament they had to keep the law. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So what are you going to do with that? Well, it looks like Ezekiel 18, and I heard all the arguments. I'm just telling you, believe the Bible. It doesn't contradict itself anywhere. And we have the everlasting gospel given to us. And that everlasting gospel is also in the Old Testament. And it is that you must trust the revelation that God has given to you at any point in time, whether it's Old Testament, New Testament, and in the future in the tribulation. That's it. Now it goes on. It says in Revelation 1:3 again, blessed is he that readeth, they that hear, and keep. Similar to verse 2, verse 3 offers another threefold breakdown. Blessed is the individual who reads and those who hear and keep. Now I have a question for you. If this is written in the first century to seven churches in Asia Minor, which is current Turkey, supposed to keep something? Sure they were. So what do you do with that? You can't go, well, it's just talking about a future group. Well, there is application and prophecy that has to do with the future, and there's no Antichrist, you know, on this earth offering the mark of the beast. Yeah, all that's true. But the Bible says, blessed is he that readeth, they that hear, and they that keep. James 1:22 says, But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know how many deceptive people there are, or people that are deceived in the world today? They're not doers. They're not keepers. What are they? They hear it. They go to church and they hear it. But if you don't do it or keep it, then you're deceived. Look at Revelation 22, verse 7. So it starts in chapter 1 with a blessing for doing something. And then Revelation chapter 22, verse 7, the Bible says, behold, I come quickly. And again, we'll deal with quickly a little bit more and more and more. But I come quickly. Well, first of all, John is transported into the future. Therefore, it is quickly. One day is with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years, one day. So 2,000 years for the Lord is like 2 days. I come quickly is not hard to understand. But that's not what we're dealing with. I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. The prophecy, the preaching of this book. You see, you can't apply all of the future context to the present. I don't believe that the barcode was the mark of the beast 20 years ago. I don't believe that Gorbachev is the Antichrist. That's sort of dating me, but some of you laugh, so I know how old we all are. You know, I don't believe that, you know, Elvis Presley spinning his hips, you know, was, you know, whatever. And, you know, in other words, just be careful in how you look at things, because we have a tendency to, first of all, Americanize the Bible. Can't do that. It's not even an American book. But we have a tendency to do that. So look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Far too much so-called prophecy teaching focuses on newspaper eisegesis. That means newspaper interpretation. that method of teaching is dangerous. Like Gorbachev. Like, you remember he had that birthmark on his head. Man, that's the mark. You know, he's dead and gone. I'm telling you. When you look at the deception, if you look at Matthew 24, talking about the end times, it says, they'll say, lo, here is Christ, or there is Christ. He says, believe it not. Why? Because Christ isn't going to be back on this earth until the second coming. And in the second coming, he kills all, destroys all of his enemies. We're not looking for Christ on this earth. What are we looking for? We're looking for the rapture, the catching out of the saints. What are they looking for at the end of the 7 years? Jesus Christ coming back and destroying all the enemies on a white horse with the armies behind him, which includes us. And that's the way it's going to be. Well, then why would people say that Christ's on this earth? Because they're deceived and being deceived. Anybody that has ever said that they're Christ, Jesus Christ, or Christ, the Messiah, is a liar. He's not going to be walking on this earth. So when you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, look at what the Bible says. For such, and you got to read the context, are false apostles, deceitful workers. What do they do? Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. You see, even his ministers are transformed into a minister of righteousness. So what if their words sound right and their actions are wrong? They're not right. What if their words are wrong and their actions are right? They're not right. Listen, it's got to match. It's got to match. Matthew 24, verse 5, I quoted it, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. What does the Bible say? In the last days, many are going to come in Christ's name, saying that they are Christ. He's not coming back to this earth except in judgment. So if you're going to go run off to some thing, and you're going to get on the top of a building and look up and wait for Jesus to come back because some UFO or some blood moon that wasn't a blood moon at all, and you're looking for Jesus on this earth. Listen, you're not looking for Jesus except through His Word. I look for Jesus in the pages of this book. Another aspect to consider is, like I said, the he and the they. And in 1 Timothy 4:13, the Bible says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Give attendance to reading. You ought to read your Bible. I tell you, I love when Judy gets up, one of the first things she does is reads her Bible. Boy, that's a blessing. I've already been up for 6 hours before she gets up. Just kidding. Just kidding. But sometimes she can't do it, like when we got up at 4:30 this morning. You know, I don't know. Just it, your eyes, it just, 4:30 is not conducive to reading. It's more conducive to sleeping. And so she got up at 4:30 this morning, but later on I saw her reading her Bible. And boy, that's a blessing. I just got to be honest with you. What a blessing. So now, go back to verse 3 again. It says, for the time is at hand. For the time is at hand. There in verse 3 of Revelation chapter 1. Now, I explain that in verse 1. John was transported 2,000 years in the future. Daniel also wrote about the time of the end in 534 B.C. and the sealing of the prophecy that was given to him. You see, Daniel's a sealed book until the time of the end. Guess what? We're probably in the time of the end. Daniel's starting to open up. I know when I went into Daniel, I was reading it, and you know, a lot of people said, well, there's six things. I noticed that there's the prophecy and this one. There were actually seven things, and you know, I felt like God gave that to me. And listen, He can give it to you. It's, you know, you just got to be careful. And then when you read enough books, you'll probably find out somebody knew it 100 years ago. Really? Really? There are many things I thought, boy, this is, whew, Lord, I know, but I didn't read this in any book. And then you read some book and it's there. And you go, oh, no. I go, glory, hallelujah, because I don't want all this new stuff that's just going to mess people up. Daniel chapter 12, verse 8. Let me read it to you. And I heard, but I understood not. This is, go ahead and turn to Daniel 12. This is important. You need to read this. God tells Daniel to shut up the words, seal the book. His writings are sealed for a time until the end. Is the end now? That's the question. God seals Daniel's book until the end times, and he does not even understand all that he wrote. Imagine writing. See, I have never written anything that I didn't understand, because that's the nature of what I do. I don't write books. I mean, imagine me writing a book that I don't understand. I can't even conceptualize it. But Daniel's writing the Word of God. And it wasn't for Daniel. It was for a future time, but it was given to Daniel for that future time. Daniel 12:8. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Daniel's opening up to us now. God tells John just the opposite. Look at Revelation 22. John's told not to seal the prophecy of Revelation. Revelation is an open, unsealed book. Daniel was a closed book, sealed book. Now it's being opened up. Remember, and this is so simple. You got the trumpets and the vials, and you have the seals. What do they do with the seals? Again, they open the seals. You don't need David Koresh to tell you what they mean either.
Well, I've got to interpret the seals and then I'll come out.
Read your Bible. The seals are interpreted by God in the book. You don't need me. If I just read it to you, you'll know as much as I know about the seals being broken. But here's what he says. Revelation 22:10. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Look at verse 20. He which testify these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Zephaniah wrote in 630 B.C. He wrote that the day of the Lord is at hand. The day of the Lord is Jesus coming whenever He takes the kingdoms, they become His. It is the day of the Lord. It is the day when He destroys all of His enemies. It's the day when He reigns for 1,000 years. Why does it say a day? 1,000 years is as one day. The day of the Lord will be 1,000 years. Simple as that. Zephaniah 1:7, he says, hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice, he hath bidden his guests. Turn to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. So the day of the Lord unfolds at the return of Christ to this earth, as seen later in Revelation. What has been at hand for much of man's existence becomes a reality. Now remember, Revelation repeats Daniel's 70th week of the tribulation period 3 times. So when you're in Revelation chapter, we're at the end of the 7-year period. You know that by the context. So 3 times. You go through again, you see the second coming, the day of the Lord. You go, well, wait a minute. And then you go through it some more and you go, there it is again. That's the way it's written. So in Revelation chapter 11, you've got the end of the 7 years being told again. How do you know? In verse 15, the Bible says, and the seventh angel sounded. So this is the sound of the trumpets. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. So the kingdoms of the world become the kingdoms of the Lord in one future kingdom. Only one future kingdom, and that's when the Lord Jesus Christ shall rule. But when you look at the kingdoms of the world, they become the kingdoms of the Lord, which is His kingdom, singular. Now, I want to make sure you get that. We'll delve into it as we get in Revelation. But what I want you to understand is that the millennial kingdom, singular, are the kingdoms of this world that become the kingdoms of the Lord in one millennial kingdom. Enough said. We'll deal with it later. I want to deal with the first part of Revelation 1:4 before we close. Revelation 1:4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Remember, we dealt with the sevens the other day. Grace be unto you and peace from Him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne. Now, we'll deal with seven churches. We'll deal with Asia. Grace be unto you, which is, which was, which is to come, and we'll deal further with the seven spirits. But I still want to look at what John wrote. John wrote Revelation, sent it to seven literal, physical, local churches in Asia Minor, modern day Greek, Turkey, in the first century. Paul also wrote to seven churches. What are they? Romans, Rome. Corinthians, Corinth. But it's, you know, they're two books to one group. Galatia, Ephesians, Ephesus, Philippi, Colossae, and Thessalonica. So John wrote seven epistles to seven local churches. Now, they're short epistles, but epistles all the same. They are just as important. Well, they are important. Paul's writings are, you know, I mean, they somewhat trump most anything else that we need and we need to understand. But they are still seven epistles to seven churches. Paul wrote seven epistles to seven churches. The early believers were to do what? Read. They were to believe. They were to accept these words as the words of God. God never intended for this book to be read only by a small group of tribulation saints 2,000 years later. That is where we have messed up in the church, because we've said Revelation is future, future, future. And it is. And it is. There is. I'm not worried about if somebody shot me up with a chip in my right hand, I wouldn't worry about losing my salvation. Would I worry about it being the mark of the beast? No. Why? Well, the Bible says that they took the mark and worshiped the beast. You have to do both. And the beast isn't here. How do you know? Because there's certain things that have to happen to bring the beast into power. And those things aren't going to happen with us down here. We're gone. So you have to just put it all together. And don't get all concerned. Oh, I'm not going to let him, you know, stamp my hand to, you know, show that I've been in a restaurant. And then I go back out and they just getting everybody prepared for the mark. And it probably is. I mean, people take stamps in their foreheads and, you know, and it's all a joke. I have a picture I took the other day. Real men love Satan. It was a car in front of me. 2 or 3 days ago. Right here in Niceville. What a mess. I mean, I know some people say, well, I'm just joking. Bless you. They could say, well, I should have said it to your mom earlier. They're just joking. Maybe not. We're in a weird world. We really are. Men don't know they're men. Women don't know they're women. Men think they can have, have a baby? Really? Have a cycle? Now, I don't know. I hate to tell you. You Bud Light, go for it. I am so I have boycotted Bud Light since they did this. Thank you for the laughs. But if I was a drinker, I wouldn't drink Bud Light. Man, I guess it's the redneck beer. That's what I've heard. And boy, I think they miscalculated a little bit. Giving it away. Hey, that's what happens. Listen, these woke, you know, what I was with Governor DeSantis during his inaugural, and he said, you know, come to Florida. It's where you go to Florida, where woke, you go broke. That's what it is. So when you look at, and let me land this thing. When you look at John's five books, they're the Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation. He wrote those five books. John penned the Gospel book of John to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ in His glory at His first coming. And he pens Revelation to reveal the Lord in all His glory in His second coming. And that's how simple it is. Listen, Revelation is not a difficult book. I've told you that several times. One of the things is, and that's really, you know, I've written two books on Revelation. One book out of print, I wrote it again, now it went out of print. And now I'm doing this major book from 200 to 240 to 800 pages. But when I look at that thing and I realize that people have made it so mysterious, it's not. The best thing I got was taking my position that it goes through three times. Because I couldn't figure out whether it was three or four. And I could not settle on four. And then the Lord just said, well, this one, it only goes through three times. Looks like it's four. And we'll deal with that extensively as we get in there. But if you understand that it goes through that dialogue, and I've got to be careful how I say this, because somebody said, are you saying that they're going to go through the tribulation three times? No. The Revelation writes about the period one time, two times, three times, and it's the same period each time. But it says it from different perspectives. Like whenever you see it from the trumpets, from the vials, from the seals. And the thing that's the key is the seventh seal has the trumpets in it. And where people mess up to make it four is they say, well, the second coming happens at the seventh seal. The seventh seal is the opening of the trumpets. Therefore, it can only be three times and not four. And again, we'll see that. Blessed is he that readeth. I hope you'll be blessed by reading it. David and Mary, glad that you guys are here. Thank you for coming. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, you thank you for many blessings, guide, lead, and direct in all things. Lord, we praise you and give you all the honor and glory for anything that we do to lift you up, to put you on that throne, to witness about you to a lost and dying world. Help us to be truly evangelistic in our outreach to others. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. With your head bowed and eyes closed, if God's spoken to you in some way, altar is open. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet if you're able to.